Let's tell him, thank you. And let's tell him, come, Lord Jesus. When John was told, behold, I come quickly, his response was, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Our hearts are longing. Our hearts are ready for what you want to do. We thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Thank you for those you brought from various places. Thank you for those that are still coming. Thank you because of what you have said to do this weekend. We thank you. We pray, Lord, we'll receive all that you've planned to do. Our heart will be receptive to receive your word and to receive impartation that we can run accurately in the days in which we live. And stand tall, regardless of circumstances, regardless of what the enemy throws at us, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we welcome you once again to this atmosphere, for this place. We pray, let the name of Jesus be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Amen. God bless you. Let's be seated. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. No. Hallelujah. Amen. No. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't have youth in the house. Hallelujah. Amen. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're welcome in Jesus' name. We'll take our time tomorrow to actually welcome all the delegates from various places, Bonny Island, Owerri, everywhere, Yenegua. We'll take our time to welcome Bori, everywhere. We'll take our time to welcome everyone tomorrow. And then we trust God to help us. So I want you to look at the person sitting beside you, tell him or her that you are welcome. Yeah. You're welcome. Daddy, you are welcome. Thank you for your kindness. Yeah, your support over the years. Over the years. Over the years. And we are grateful for this large heart. For me, is the gift of access. I can call you at any time, any day, and I know that you are there to give an advice and helping hand. Thank you so much, sir. We bless you. So I congratulate the pastors in the house, my brother. He called me Egbon, but I don't know who is Egbon among us. But I'll be all doing that. Well, God bless you. Thank you for being part of today. Thank you. Pastor Mike, where is my sister? I know. I will find you. I will find you. Yeah, you're welcome, sir. Thank you, everyone. Engineer Adeboye, I don't understand. I'm telling you, sir. I don't just get it. You're welcome, sir. All the way from Lagos. I didn't even tell me it was coming. God bless you, sir. I received a shock when I saw you. It was surprising. God bless you, sir. Thank you for your support over the years. Thank you, sir. You know, it's good to serve. I came close to engineer. That was the day you called me, sir, to go and pick him at the airport. That was, I think, whether mommy's birthday or your, yeah. That was the day we started interacting. And it's like heart answering to heart. Thank you, sir. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Reverend Mike Kolo. God bless you. We are sorry for the tiredness, the delay flight and all that, but thank God. I know you've been through so many things. You'll have just come rest before coming, but thank you for being here. Okay, my job this night is to just exhort us briefly and then to see how God will help us. I welcome every one of us, our members in the house, and then those still coming. Yeah, like I said, my job is to exhort us to the 14th edition of Immortality Readiness Conference. I thought somebody would shout hallelujah. Yeah. Many years ago, before the conference started, I remember I was invited to a friend's church. That was about 2008, thereabout. So it's late now, Pastor Ario Boru. Yeah. So he gave me to teach in this church. It's a workout to take all the Wednesdays to teach. And then take the last Sunday of that month to teach. So the first Wednesday I came, I charged the worker, encouraged him, and then we went. So when I was done, he came up to round up the service. And then to make comment on what I've talked about. And he made a statement. I can't even remember the right statement now. But he made a statement that, let me just paraphrase, that if we have a glimpse of that place where we are going, it will impact the way we walk, we serve in the house of God. So when he made that statement, that changed the trajectory of the message I've already planned. It changed everything. I said, okay, let me start building on this statement that he mentioned. And then the next one next day, I came up and I started talking about immortality readiness. Yes. I just came up with that, immortality readiness. So I did that the 3 Wednesdays and then one of the last Sunday. When I was done, it dawned so much on me, it was a strong witness that I should write a book on immortality readiness. So I was asking myself, who knows me? Who will read the book? Who knows me? And then where will I even get money? Me, I'm still struggling to put food on the table. Where will I get money to write the book? So I just left it. So after some time, I had a revelation. In that revelation, I saw, it was like I was sitting and I was watching a movie. It was a stage. And a woman came looking tattered with white gown. And then there was blood stain. She was looking so rough. But I knew in that vision that this is a church. So I started saying in that vision, but this is not the church. I wasn't speaking out. I was just saying that in my heart. But this is not the church that Jesus said he's coming for. That Jesus said he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. But why this looking dirty? So while I was musing that, someone came and then took her away from the stage. And then immediately that happened, and I had a voice, which I believe the voice of the Lord, because of the statement he made. He said, I'm taking away the hallowed church so that the true church can emerge. And I'm coming back tomorrow, but who will prepare my people for my coming? And I woke up. The first person by my side was my wife. So I woke up. I said, I just had a dream now. And so we first check ourselves. Are we? And then I knew that tomorrow is not tomorrow, because that would be contradicting the Bible. The Bible says nobody knows when it will come. And so it was then I remember the nudging to write a book. So it was at that point, you know, I remember when Isaiah said, who shall we, when Isaiah had that vision, and he said, who shall we send? Who shall go for us? And Isaiah answered the call, here I am, send me. So I realized that God was making a call. Because when he said, I'm coming back tomorrow, but who will prepare my people for my coming? So that was how I answered the call. Lord, I will. It was at that point I responded to the writing of the book. They say, the rest is history. So when that was done, then I began to have a burden. And the Lord made me realize that it's not just a book that I want you to write. Beyond the book is a crusade I want you to champion. And it is the crusade of preparing the people for the coming of Christ. And that was how Immortality Readiness Conference started 2012. And thank God that today is the 14th edition. It would have been 15th edition if not for COVID in 2020. But thank God for COVID. Everybody say thank God for COVID. Yeah, because of the story I want to tell you now. I actually have something to say, but I don't know why I'm going in this direction. If I still have time, I will just touch on it. Yeah, I was invited to Kenya. That was, I went 2019, and then 2018 I was invited again to come. It's the School of Ministry, Capro School of Ministry. I've been doing that now since that year. So I was there, and I taught them Christian doctrine. So when I went in 2020, I think I went February. That was, you preach a message, you can beat the beast. Yeah. That was the message you preached before I traveled. Because that message followed me. It was that message that actually stopped me when fear of being infected with COVID in a strange lab begins to come. That you can beat, I can't even remember you remember, you can beat the beast. Yeah. So that was the message. So while I was there, I didn't even know. So I just spent 1 week because it's 2 weeks training. So I spent, by Thursday, I started hearing the rumor that they will shut down airports. And once they shut it down, nobody can go again. So I thought it was a rumor. So by Friday, it became a reality that I needed to leave. That is become a reality that is going to happen. So the next thing is that to look for the next available flight. I remember Sister Rita, yeah, she was one that, she was my traveling agent. I helped me to book the flight and all that. So she called me on Saturday night. Said, Pastor, there's a news that they are shutting that airport. You need to move immediately. That was on Saturday night. You must move immediately. I said, Ma, fine. So you have to, you know, the way she said, Pastor, it's true. It's not rumor. It's, I said, okay, Ma. So I, you know, the Yusuf was my host. And then so the husband just came and said, okay, let's go. Go and pack your bag. So I was about packing my bag. The wife said, you mean you would just go like that? You don't even pray. You didn't even pray. You didn't even ask God. God brought you to Kenya to come and teach these people who are hungry, who have answered the call of mission. And then you want to abandon them and leave because of COVID. At least pray. What am I praying for? They say they are shutting down airport. Do I know when they're going to open it? Do I need to pray? I said, no. She said, no. Pray. I don't think I've ever been confused like that in my life. I was so confused. I went inside, sat down, put my head on the table because I don't even know what to pray for. I said, Lord, I'm confused here. As I put my hand on the table, the word I had was John Mark. That's what I had. John Mark. And immediately I had that, my mind went straight to John Mark that left Paul and Barnabas and departed. He left them. And the Lord began to realize, okay, you want to behave like John Mark also. Immediately I had that. I knew God wanted me to stay. So, but to see what get this contrary opinion. So I called Pastor Tunji because that time he was also in Canada. Because I know that Pastor Tunji doesn't joke with his wife and family. I said, Pastor, he's like, did you hear? I said, I've heard now, but me, I'm staying. If you like, let them close. Me, I'm staying. I said, you are staying? We don't know when to end. He said, me, I'm staying. I'll just stay here, focus, and be teaching online. I was expecting him to say, me, I'm going, you know, so that I can also use that. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4, going to 5 months. I was in Kenya because of that word, John Mark. It was not easy. I cried, fasted. I don't know. I can't remember. I prayed all manners. In fact, at the point I said, God, okay, just have your way. Whatever you want to use me to do. I was exposed to so many things. That was why we did that training. It was in Kenya I learned about that training. But what is bringing me to this story? It was while I was in Kenya, I met Uncle Mark Kolo. Remember? Yeah. Because normally once you finish your teaching, you will leave for 2 weeks. Then another lecturer will come. But because I was tied down, he came to teach on discipleship. And then that was how we met. I sat under him and I said, wow. And It was not even on my mind that we are bringing him until when this thing came. So, I told you all this story because, yeah, do you understand that? So, I want to beg us in the name of God to pay attention. This is not a man's vision. This is God's vision. I just narrated the story. It is clear in my spirit. And then God has been faithful over the years, helping us and bringing us to where we are today. And I believe strongly that this weekend will be a weekend that will mark a turnaround, a new beginning in our life, a new hunger for God, a new quest for his word, and then to be equipped to do that which the Lord has called us to do in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, when they come, when the speaker comes, they will tell you the definition of all that. But let me just round up with this. I have just 9 minutes to do this, and I will, whenever I hear him, I will stop. You know what a disciple is, right? A follower of Christ. Someone who follow. Disciple is not just a biblical word. It's an English word. So someone who follow a master, who is committed in following a master. So a disciple is someone who believes and helps to spread the doctrine of another. That is word well. Hodman Bible Dictionary defined discipleship as: discipleship is a lifestyle of following Jesus Christ in submission to his lordship and helping others to follow him. Yeah. Submission to his lordship. Now, one of the challenges of our day is that we pay more attention to church members. And then we are not translating church members to disciples. So we are so passionate about growing the church numerically. But you know what I realized? When you study the Bible and you understand what discipleship is and the necessity to actually disciple the people, I believe that sincerely, if we are sincere with ourselves, you will not have this obsession towards number. Because it takes a great work to disciple people. Yeah. It takes great work. And that's why we are not really having disciple is not something that can happen by chance. Nobody is stumbling into discipleship. There's a process of discipleship. It's a process. So we must understand that that is the call of our ministry. That's the call of the church. That's the assignment of the church. Whatever thing we call our vision, if it does not fulfill discipleship, then we are wasting our time. Whatever your vision is, you might say you are called to this, you are called to that. But underneath that is discipleship. The apostles of Christ that founded the church, which the church was founded on, they don't have any special ministry. All they did was to go out there, preach the gospel, and then disciple people. What they did. And so we must understand that that is the call of our assignment as the church. And what is the goal of discipleship? What is the goal of discipleship? The goal of a disciple is to be like Christ. That's the goal. That's the goal. And I want us to keep this goal in mind as we go through this conference, because I'm going to be coming back to this, because for me, that is it. Because once you miss the goal, then we have missed everything. Luke chapter 4, I think verse 40. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. What did he say? Yeah, it's... No, is it verse 40? Sorry, chapter 6, verse 40. He said, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his what? His master. So a disciple is not above his what? His teacher. But everyone who is what? Perfectly what? Trained will be like his teacher. So like I said, the goal of discipleship is to be like Christ. Is to be like Christ. Let's read Romans chapter 8 verse 29. Romans 8 29. I'll read it from NLT, and then I will read it from the Message Bible. Romans 8 verse 9. verse 29. Romans 8, verse 29. NLT. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that the son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. You see that? So, God's predetermined counsel or purpose is that we'll be like Christ. Huh? So even before Christ came here physically, God has already planned it. That the people is going to call the church, that the goal is to be like Christ. I love the way the Message Bible put it. The Message. It said God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. I love that. So it wasn't a guesswork. So when Adam fell, God was not thinking, oh, Adam, why did you fall? So what do we do now? Angel, Michael, so what do we do? No, the Bible said God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the onset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same line as the life of his son. Look at this. The son stands first in line of humanity he restored. I love this. We see the original and intended shape of our lives dear in him. So Christ is the original. Christ is the intended shape of our life. So who am I becoming? I'm becoming more like Christ. So how am I measuring my life? I'm measuring my life not by anyone. I'm measuring my life by the standard of Christ. So Christ becomes our gaze. Christ becomes the standard. And you realize as I close that when Jesus, the Bible says he gave gifts to the body of Christ, you realize that the fivefold ministry was also given to bring us to this end. Remember we said a disciple cannot be above his master, but for a disciple to be like his master, he has to be properly taught, properly trained. So let's read Ephesians chapter 4 as I close here. I'll read it from, because of time, let me read from the easy to read version. I don't know that we have it there. Easy to read version. From verse 11. Easy to read. Do we have it? Okay, let me just read from here. And that same Christ, Ephesians 4, 11. And that same Christ gave this gift to the people. He made some to be apostles. Okay, thank God we have it. Some to be prophet, some to go and tell the good news, that is evangelist, some to care for, that is pastor, and teach God's people. Christ gave this gift, so this is the purpose why this gift was given. Christ gave this gift to prepare God's holy people for the work of serving, to make the body of Christ stronger. Do you see that? Okay? This work must continue. So when people say the gift have ceased with the apostle, they don't read the Bible. The Bible said this must continue until we all join together in what we believe, in what we know about the Son of God. Look at this. Our goal is what? Is to become like a full-grown man. To look just like Christ and have all his perfection. Let me read that again. As I have pastor, I don't even know the name to call you. That's why we just put your name, Marcolo. Our goal is to become like a full-grown man. To look just like Christ and have all his perfection. So what's our goal? To be like Christ. Huh? And so, if I'm a pastor, I'm asking myself, because that's how you judge whether people are maturing. The people, are they becoming more like Christ? What am I doing? What do I need to do? I remember you preach a message, the preacher must change the menu. What menu do I need to serve? that will bring about this goal. That this goal becomes what we look forward to, and then I bring people into that. Do you understand that? So I want us to keep this goal in mind. That is the goal of discipleship. That is the goal of our entire life. So you're asking yourself, am I becoming more like Christ? Reverend Kolo.
Hallelujah.